Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Preaching to Myself. My name is John Hill. Super excited to be back hosting. Thanks for coming along for the ride for another episode. We're going to get into a really interesting topic today. But first, a little bit on the personal life. It's been a crazy week. I'm trying to hold my voice together. Been talking all day. Did some preaching this morning. Did some, meetings, other events. Hosted some family. And it's late night, and I'm just now finally getting some time to sit down. And it's always good to get in front of the mic. It feels nice. I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm tinkering with things. I like tinkering. So it's a lot of fun. This week, God blessed me and my family in a crazy way. It was pretty cool. And I like sharing things like this because I feel like it's a faith-building moment, right? So I want to share it with you guys. So we've been in the market for a new vehicle, a new minivan. I know everybody's going SUV and minivan. It's kind of, we like minivans. It seems more practical, more convenient. We are about one kid away from like 40 Kano line conversion van, like straight up like homeschool G-Wagon. We're not there yet. We're like one kid away. But I think we're going to stick with the traditional minivan. So we've been in the market and looking all over the internet, and we're kind of like, okay, we might go forward in this. Not sure. Just running the numbers, running the financials. It seems kind of dicey. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to afford this. So the other day, Holly, my wife, I'm sure you know her by now because I just gas her up all the time. She is looking online and finds a deal. Locally, we were going to go with one of those online car sellers that deliver it to you. Even though the process seems a little sketchy, but it's 2022. I order everything off the internet, so why not a vehicle, right? But we were able to find a vehicle locally, and it seemed promising. It was newer than other vehicles that we've been looking for. So she messaged me at work, and she was like, hey, I'm thinking about going to check this out. I said, sure, go check it out. So she drives over to the dealership where it's at and checks it out, and it looks great, and it seems like a great deal. And she's looking around at salesmen, and if you've ever bought a used car, you kind of have an idea of the stereotypical used car salesman in your head. They're going to upsell me on a bunch of stuff. They're going to just blow a bunch of hot air in my direction. And she was talking to a guy and then clocked somebody else working in the dealership and looked over. And one of the salesmen was actually a friend of ours. That goes to church with us. His name's Phil, and he's awesome. So Holly checked out the car, and it looked fantastic. Seemed like a great deal. The price seemed right. So I went in later and hung out with Phil for a while. We kind of talked and caught up. We hadn't really sat down and talked for a while, and did all the paperwork. And so just kind of the way everything came together, first off, this vehicle, and you know how kind of the market for everything is right now. Inflation is going crazy, and the used car market is pretty scarce and all this kind of stuff. This van was right around $5,000 below Blue Book value, and nobody had come checked it out. In fact, they said it had been sitting there at the dealership for about 3 months before we came. And then I did all the paperwork, and apparently the next day somebody came and was interested in it, but we had already done all the paperwork. So I got financing through my own bank that I'm a member at, and they were able to just cut us such a really great deal, and the way that we kind of like worked the interest out and saved money here and there, it worked out to right exactly at where we wanted to be in our budget. And so it was just kind of a cool faith-building moment. I mean, similar situation in how we came into our home and kind of how God dealt in real estate. Listen, God deals in the used car market too. If you are looking for something, pray. Man, God has provision for you. They don't call him Jehovah Jireh for nothing. So, you know, even if it's something that seems silly, like, am I going to take used car needs to God? If it's important to you, go for it. Pray, right? Just do it. Bring it before him because he cares about the little things, about the big things. He cares because he loves you. So if you're in the used car market, shoot me a DM and, you know, I'll give you the reference to my guy, Phil. He's a great guy. So thanks, Phil, if you're listening. It was a pleasant experience buying a used car from you. Anyways, thanks for tuning in. As a quick reminder, if you are not following along already with the show, whatever your preferred podcasting platform is, hit the follow button. Some platforms will let you automatically download new episodes when they come out. You can do that. If you're on a platform that allows reviews, leave a review. Be honest. Give me some feedback. Hit me on the socials. All of the links to everything is on the link tree. It's linktr.ee/preachingtomyself. And you'll be able to find the Instagram, the Facebook page, and links to all of the different platforms. Whatever your preferred platform is, pick that and go with it. Because, listen, sometimes I'm a Google guy, sometimes a Spotify guy, sometimes I'm an Amazon guy. Who knows? But take it with you. Follow other podcasts that talk about God's word and get into it and speak truth. And I am honored that I am among those that you follow. So build yourself up in that way, follow along, and just fill your mind with God's word all the time. Also, in the link tree, you'll be able to find a merch store, which is super cool. It's just a different way to support the show. If you wanted to wear a shirt with the show's logo on it or whatever, there's other things there for you that we've talked about in the past from other shows. So go and check that out. It's all in the link tree. Before we get into today's topic, which interestingly enough is about praying, taking your concerns before God. But we're going to talk about when God says no. And I know that that's kind of a tough topic, especially on certain prayers. But I hope that we can kind of get through this together. And hopefully we learn and grow through this whole thing together. So we're going to take a real quick ad break and we will be right back. All right, we're back with Preaching to Myself. Today we're talking about when God says no. When God says no. We all have prayers, and we don't take them lightly. At least I hope not. You know, hopefully when somebody tells you a tough situation and you're like, oh man, that sounds rough, I'll pray for you, we don't walk away and just forget. In fact, I encourage you, and something that Holly's been doing and I've been trying to remind myself also to do is just, you know what? Just pray right then and there. Just do it. What is it going to take? A minute? A minute and a half? You've got 90 seconds to spare to bring something before the creator of the universe. It's that important. It's important enough to them to tell you about it. So it's important enough to bring it before the king right then and there. But again, sometimes the results aren't the way that we want them. Sometimes we don't get the answer that we want to hear. And that's rough. That's difficult. No one likes being told no. Maybe it's because we have insecurities about rejection. Maybe when you were younger and dating, or, you know, getting picked last for a sports team or whatever it is, like, rejection doesn't feel good. And we all have kind of these moments in our life where we've felt rejected or left out. And the idea that we could feel like that because of something that God, who we love and we serve and who's the one above everything, because of something that he said to us, like, that hits deep. That cuts. When God says no, it can hurt. It feels like rejection, but it's not rejection. See, there's two ways that we can change the way that we think about a no from God. First of all, remember, we serve a God that we can make requests of. And whether the answer is yes or no, that's amazing. The creator of the universe, we believe, our faith, our doctrine tells us we can make requests of the creator of everything. And he'll listen, whether it's huge or small or silly or serious, or we just want to talk. We have a path, a direct line to communicate to the heart of the creator of all things. And that's incredible. Book of 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence that we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him." We can go before the king with confidence. If we ask anything that's according to his will, he hears us. And if we know it's according to his will, we have it. That's wild. So yes or no, the privilege, because of what Jesus did on the cross, the privilege to ask Father God for anything is huge. It's huge. And the second way we can kind of change the way that we think about getting a no is this: no isn't rejection, it's course correction. Let me say that again. No isn't rejection, it's course correction. See, we don't have the fullness of God's knowledge. We can't see the big picture. I remember being a kid and quite a few times being told, "Listen, you don't get it now. You'll get it when you're an adult. You'll get it when you're a parent. You'll understand when you're older." Just like that, the Bible says that I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God because I don't have the fullness of that knowledge, that experience, that wisdom that God the Father has. I don't get it. So I tell my kids no to something. "I haven't eaten dinner yet, but can I have a bowl of ice cream?" Well, no. Why not? Because it's not healthy. I don't tell my kids no for the express purpose of being a jerk. And you don't tell your kids no for the purpose of being a jerk. And God doesn't tell us no for the purpose of being this sky tyrant that just wants to oppress us. God tells us no because he wants to steer us in the direction that he has. And we don't see it because we don't have the zoom out on the big picture. I'm glad I don't have that. That seems like a horrible burden. We don't get the big picture. When I'm driving in my car and I'm using GPS, which is often because most of the time I have no clue where I'm going. So I've got the destination put in and the GPS, her name's Catherine, she's telling me where to go. And she'll say, "In a quarter mile, turn right." And then I get a quarter mile and it's like, use the right lane to turn right here. At no point do I think that is a rejection of turning left. Just because it told me to turn right does not mean that the direction of turning left is now rejected. That, well, I can't do, yeah, you know what? Forget left turns. Never turning left again. I'm just going to turn right and then right and then right. And then I'm going to be going in the right direction. No, sometimes you turn right. Sometimes you turn left is what it is. Just because you're told no on one thing doesn't mean that you rejected or that what you wanted was stupid or it was wrong. It just is God pushing you where you're supposed to be going. But it doesn't change the fact that no still hurts. It hurts when healing doesn't come. It hurts when a loss happens. We experience disappointment. All of that stuff is real. And I'm not invalidating any of that. Those feelings of frustration and anger and fear are valid, extremely valid. It's the kind of stuff that can shatter faith, because we hear verses like Mark 11:24, where Jesus said, "Therefore, I tell you, everything that you pray and ask for, believe that you have and receive it, and it'll be yours." And, you know, if you base everything you believe off of, well, this verse that Jesus said, he said that no matter what I ask God for, he'll give it to me. So I'm going to ask for this thing. That isn't even a bad thing. I'm not even asking for $1 million. I'm just asking for somebody to be healed. And it just doesn't happen. It doesn't come. And we lose them. And that just dismantles everything that you thought that you knew, that you believe about Christ and following him, because he said he was going to do it and he didn't do it. So what now? Where do I go now? Because I put my faith in yes, and it didn't turn out how I wanted it. So how do I respond to God's no? First thing is this: remember who he is, and then remember who you are. Remember what scripture says about God and who he is. He's a creator of all things, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end. All-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful, that God is love, that he has abundant grace and mercy for all people, forgiveness for all people, that he loved you so much that he gave his son Jesus to die for you, that he's a good father who gives good gifts to his children, that he cares for you deeply. Who you are is loved, and you are worth it. You are worth dying for. You are accepted. You are incredible. You are made in the image of God. You are deeply loved by a creator who created you on purpose, for a purpose, with purpose. And that purpose didn't hinge on the answer to a prayer. We don't get it, but understand our roles here. His role is creator, and my role is creation. And that's fact. And it is what it is. And I'm sorry if you hate that phrase, because I'm kind of getting sick of it myself. But honestly, second thing is, my plan doesn't look like his. Isaiah 55:8-9. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." This is the Lord's declaration. "For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." I'm glad. I'm glad that that's fact. I'm glad that I serve a God that operates so much higher than I could ever operate, than I could ever think, that I could ever imagine. That if God had weakness, his weakness is stronger than the strongest person that's ever been created. He is so much higher, and he understands what I'll never understand. So I can't pretend that I knew what the best outcome would have been. And so I have a prayer, I have a request, I have a concern that I want to take before him, but man, my plan doesn't always look like his. Our plans are different sometimes. And that needs to be okay. That has to be okay with us sometimes. Know that God is sovereign and his word is final. Trust that he knows what he's doing. Isaiah 46:9-10. He says, "Remember what happened long ago, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and no one is like me. I declare the end from the beginning, and from long ago, what is not yet done, saying, my plan will take place, and I will do all my will." God said, "Look, I'm God, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do." Is that God saying it is what it is? I think it is. God said, "Listen, there is no other God. I'm it. That's it. I'm it. It's me. I declare the end from the beginning." That's the thing. It's already laid out. There's already a plan. The fact that he invites us to be a part of it from the beginning is incredible. Just ridiculously incredible. We get to be a part of this master plan. And he grants us audience and he hears it out. But his will is his will. And sometimes it seems like bad stuff happens. And we don't know why. But when all else fails, pull a David. That's my last piece of advice. When all else fails, pull a David. You know David, right? the master psalmist, described as a man after God's own heart. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, starting in verse 15, says this. Here's a little backstory before I get into the scripture. Content warning, if there's any kids listening. David is king. He has formed a lustful eye, a bit of an affection for Bathsheba. And she's married, and he's eyeing this girl, and he finds out that she's married to this guy that's in his army, Uriah. And while they were out fighting, he had him taken care of. He was offed so that he could take this man's wife for himself. And she became pregnant. So the scripture says, the Lord struck the baby that Uriah's wife had borne David, and he became deathly ill. David pleaded with God for the boy. He fasted, went home, and spent the night lying on the ground. The elders of his house stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he was unwilling and would not eat anything with them. On the seventh day, the baby died. But David's servants were afraid to tell him that the baby was dead. They said, look, while the baby was alive, we spoke to him and he wouldn't even listen to us. So how can we tell him that the baby is dead? He may do something desperate. When David saw that the servants were whispering to each other, he guessed that the baby was dead. So he asked the servants, is the baby dead? He is dead, they replied. Then David got up from the ground. He washed, anointed himself, changed his clothes, went to the Lord's house and worshiped. Then he went home and requested something to eat. So they served him food and he ate. His servants asked him, why have you done this? While the baby was alive, you fasted and wept, but when he died, you got up and ate food. He answered, while the baby was alive, I fasted and wept because I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let him live. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I'll go to him, but he will never return to me. God doesn't stop being good just because I didn't get what I wanted. Sometimes bad stuff happens. To blame God is so misguided. God's sovereignty and truth don't hinge on our feelings. Can I say that again? Sometimes bad stuff happens. To blame God is misguided. God's sovereignty and truth do not hinge on our feelings. To say our feelings are more important than God's will is to say that we are higher than God. That is a form of worshiping ourselves. Narcissism isn't just, a bad character trait. It's a sin. And we have to stop thinking that our personal feelings and our personal comfort are somehow more important than the will of God. Scripture tells us, and Jesus showed us, that we have to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily and follow him. That means dying to the flesh every day. We have to kill it. Make the past die. Pick up your cross, follow him. Why did David worship God in that moment? It's because worship is our way of telling God that it's about him and not about me. The opposite of narcissism is worshiping God. It is the way that I can say that physically, right now, this act that I'm committing is ascribing worth to God in sacrificing myself. That's why David worshiped God. To tell him it's about you, not about me. So, didn't get the results that you wanted? Get up, You dust yourself off. You go tell God how good he is anyways. And then you get a snack. In that order, that is exactly how David showed us that we need to respond. He lost a child. No matter how that child came into this world, he obviously wanted that child. That child was born to him, no matter what the circumstance was. Even if there was a punishment there for sin, it's still a life. Still, a child had value to this man after God's own heart who turned his back and committed a sin, caused harm. But still, that is a harsh punishment. This man who was so close to God fasted for a week. Fasted and wept and prayed. God said no. He said, okay. And he got up and he worshiped. And then he got a snack. Because that's what the scripture tells us to do. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for hanging out. I hope and pray that when a no comes in our direction and things don't turn out the way that we wanted them to, that we can be like David, get up and dust ourselves off and just go tell God how good he is anyway. Because he's still worth it. Because he's still worthy of our praise. Because he's still a king. He's still worth it. He still sent Jesus for us to die. And that's still worth me laying down my whole life. So let's make it less about us and more about him. Thanks for listening. Thank you so much for hanging out. Follow along with the podcast if you want to stay up to date. Follow along on the socials. Thanks for checking us out. Much love. We'll see you next time. Peace.